It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, it's Thursday the 11th of April. I'm Andrew Harrison, and the most erotic honey trap in my DMs is a year-old Odorita, former Q horny MPs. Welcome back to Papercut, the modern newspaper review, where we treat the British press like the world's most unruly puppy training school. The Mail's torn its bed to pieces, the Sun's been sick on the carpet, and we're going to have to rub the Telegraph's nose in whatever it's done in the corner. If you like what we're doing, then please join the literally hundreds of people who are helping us to stay in the game by joining the Papercut supporters club. It costs less than the price of a pint a month. Go to papercutsshow.com to find out more and how you can help us. There is a link in the show notes. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Back to the future. Literally everyone thinks their best days are behind them, says a Times Radio survey. But what decade from the past was the best? Seven. French spies can't be caught in honey traps because their wives already know they're playing away. Of course they do, they're French. And Bridget over troubled waters. What does Generation Z think of returning giant knickers queen Bridget Jones? Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Right, let's meet the razor-minded panellists who are up at the crack of dawn to hack their way through the newsprint jungle today. Hello to writer of columns for CNN, morning editor for Katie Couric, and woman who just woke up like this, apparently, Holly Thomas. Good morning, Holly.
Yes, it's hard to believe, given how fresh-faced and well put together I am. For those listening, that's not true.
Absolutely sparkling, darling. Absolutely sparkling. And hello to comedian, Boris Johnson media consultant, and uncontrollable chief cheese fiend, Marcus Brigstock. Good morning.
Hello. Thank you for describing me as razor focused.
What day is it?
Yeah, the fact that I can't remember how you described me from 4 seconds ago is indication that it was wrong.
We get up early and we work hard for the listeners. Right, what have we got on the front pages? Holly, you have got the broadsheets. You've got all the fun stuff.
I have. So the big story that the Telegraph, the Guardian and the Times are all leading with is this Israel-Iran story. So President Biden has just declared ironclad support for Israel amid renewed fears of an attack from Iran.
There are reasons to believe that Iran is looking at attacking Israel.
Yes. So American intelligence agencies believe that Iran, or one of its proxy groups, so Hezbollah in southern Lebanon or the Houthis in Yemen, are on the brink of attacking Israel. This would be a retaliation for an Israeli bombing of the Iranian consulate in Syria earlier this month. And yet, all the intelligence suggests that this is a very real, potentially imminent threat. The Telegraph says Biden warns Iran not to attack Israel. President vows ironclad support for ally as sources report imminent assault likely. The Guardian has Biden declares ironclad support for Israel amid fears of Iran attack. And the Times is going with sickness claims rise hits Tory heartlands.
Right, okay. That's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
So apparently incapacity benefit is up by a third in affluent areas. So yeah, people are claiming more sickness benefit.
That's kind of interesting considering I thought it was the workshy shirking poor who were all going on the sick. And it turns out it's not. It's upstanding Conservative voters.
Well, it might be the increasing price of olive oil and the knock-on effect that has on focaccia.
Yes.
I know several of my family have had to register as unwell when they found out quite how much a bottle of virgin olive oil and therefore focaccia was going to cost.
It's very much the crisis we're not talking about.
Well, you know, a lot of people's suffering goes unnoticed, and here we all are.
Yes, absolutely. And you've also got the Eye, which has a slightly more parochial and in some ways cheering story.
Yeah, so things are looking up, according to the Eye. So it says, Labour plans to fix UK buses with public ownership of failing services. So we might be able to get from A to B in less than sort of 4 hours in the not-too-distant future, which would be really, really great. It says, party vows to resolve bus crisis by effectively nationalising services in first term of office. Shadow Transport Secretary Louise Hay says plan will create or save 1,300 bus routes. That would be really great. Just the infrastructure being fractionally less terrible in at least one area would improve all of our lives.
Because I'm absolutely ancient, I can remember before the buses got deregulated. And yes, you actually could do that. It was like a kind of strange, you know, wonderful Blue Remembered Hills world where for like a couple of quid, I could get into Liverpool and back again.
I'd like to apologise to listeners for this full-blown communist rant.
It's socialism and class war. Hatred got mad.
This is how the Reds get under your bed. They arrive by bus.
Absolutely, with Blakey and Reg Varney, you know, the rest of it. Marcus, you've got the tabloids. What have you got?
I have. Well, I've got the Mail. So they've got, in lovely, sexy pink writing at the top, Confessions of a Sex Addict. And then, you know, if it's in any way accurate, describes the absolute tsunami of destruction that sex addiction unleashes on the people who have it and anyone who encounters them. But still, no.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing to sell as, like, have a look at this.
This is the thing. Do you remember that Michael Fassbender film, Shame? And everyone was like, oh my God, have you heard that he shows his dick in it? And everyone's like, oh wow, like, how titillating. Yeah. And everyone flooded to the cinema to discover it was just 2 hours of desperately depressing. Yeah. Really, really.
They were expecting Shagnito from the X-Men. It's actually just dismal horror.
Yeah, he's fit. It's like, I'm desperately unhappy.
Ideal. I could fix him as well.
Yeah. I can change him.
Yeah.
Right.
So but the main headline here is China is flooding Britain with fake stamps.
What?
And yeah, China is flooding Britain with fake stamps.
Is this like Penny Blacks and the collectible ones?
No, it's not. It's not. It's when you get a normal letter through your letterbox, have a look at it and see, because a lot of them are actually Chairman Mao. I do find this really bizarre as a destabilising tactic. Although, I'm perhaps gullible enough, but I believe that China is waging a sort of assault on many fronts, as is Russia, and perhaps this is just one of them. But they are quite determined in the Mail that this is led by the Chinese Communist Party, or at least done with the knowledge of the Chinese Communist Party, whereas I think it's probably a bloke somewhere outside Beijing going, oh, I've got a printer, I know how to make these.
Obviously, the Daily Mail readership is perhaps a bit more mature than you and I. They may use stamps a little bit more. Maybe they still think that you lick stamps on the back. Maybe that's got mind control drugs from Beijing on the back of the stamps.
I think you know perfectly well that there's someone in this room sitting not so far away from us who may be willing to identify themselves as someone who still licks stamps.
Well, no, I've not used... So I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've used a stamp in the last 2 decades.
Right.
I think the last time might have been... There was maybe an internship I had to apply for with a letter. And I can't... I really don't know besides that. I don't send Christmas cards. Sorry. But yeah, it just... To me, it just seems like a really, really weird offensive, like in terms of kind of international espionage. It's like the equivalent of breaking into an office and moving the stapler.
Yeah.
It's just like fucking around because you can.
Now, The Sun. Ring of Steed. Huge crackdown at National. Cops undercover in race crowd. Now, my hope with the undercover policing at the Grand National this year is that two coppers come disguised as a horse and take part in the race. Now, I genuinely think this would be fantastic for national morale. I think it would stop China and Russia in their tracks if two coppers in a panto horse set off round the entry
I
racetrack.
I was proceeding in a northerly direction towards the chair at Betches Brook.
I mean, I would rather see like the entire Grand National replaced, like far more morally defensible,
actually,
better use of police officers.
Yeah.
The Grand National's horrible. It just kills it. You might as well just got a machine got a load of horses.
Yeah. Also, like police officers need some sort of rehabilitation, clearly, like some good wholesome racing.
Well,
do everyone a world of
many
good.
Many of them look quite out of shape. The ones near me are always in a kebab shop. So get them inside a pantomime horse, get them running, get them over the Melling Pass or whatever. So we'll see how they, and the ones who can't make it, well, it just wasn't meant to be, was it?
Yeah.
It's kinder to just dispatch them. Well,
it's good, clean fun.
They just pull a blue screen around any fallen panto horses. And now the star, proud to love animals. So proud, in fact, they're not even covering the Grand National.
Now, do you miss the good old days when you're young, full of energy, and not a worn-out, half-dead 29-year-old like you are now? Well, try 57, mate, see how you feel then. It seems that everybody does think the past was better than the present. Half of people think they will never again live their best life, says a survey for Times Radio in, The Times, quel coincidence. The over-70s think the 60s were great, and the under-30s think the turn of the millennium was the best. A1, the millennium bug, Big Brother, I think not. Marcus, what's going on here? Give us the fillers in on this.
Well, the main thing that's going on is that the Times have gone, their photograph for Long for the Good Old Days, so do most people poll shows, is a huge picture of Boris Johnson with both of his ghastly thumbs up in front of four Union Jacks, as if people pining for the past.
The good old days of 2019.
Exactly. I find that when I habitually lied to the country and read almost none of the briefs I was given. If you're pining for that. it's such a mad choice of photograph over what is quite an interesting study into different groups of people. The over 70s are most likely to think the 60s were truly swinging. And I've asked my parents about this. So my parents are, my mum's about to be 80, my dad's in his 80s. And they, for them, the 60s sort of just pass them by, really. And most of their mates, maybe it's because they're posh, I don't know, but yeah, they sort of pine for the 60s. A third of people overall think the 60s and 70s were better than today. I mean, in some regards I do, but then I was a small child.
I can't remember the 60s at all. I can remember the 70s. They were great because I was a child. But it's interesting that people would say that, considering we've had a 40-year diet of the 70s were the worst thing ever. Power cuts, unions, the collapse of the country.
Yeah.
We nearly had a coup, supposedly. All this stuff. Yeah, people still think, do you think that might just be the David Bowie, ABBA 70s night effect?
Yes, I think it's that. I think the 70s have become cool because we've managed to rose tint details like, as a child, standing outside a pub in January while a bottle of Fanta was passed out the window and a bag of salt your own crisps. Get that.
We had to salt our own crisps. Probably can't believe this.
Get kids working.
Yeah.
We had to open the crisps and find a sachet of salt that had become. One pellet of salt that you couldn't break up.
Grind it,
Then grind it up and put it on your own crisps. Only 16% think it was better in the 50s, which gave birth to the boomer generation, falling to only 4% for those who miss the wartime 40s.
Now, Holly's got thoughts here.
I have a hot take. Yeah, so my hot take is, I reckon the 1940s could have been really enjoyable under very specific circumstances.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I would want to be a woman, don't want to be drafted, none of that. You would, all of these jobs would suddenly become available to you. As a journalist, I'd make a killing. And also, there's loads of research. So, like, I think Boffins would back me up. Like, happiness is relative. And, like, now we're kind of saturated with dopamine from all sides, right? Mm. Like, screens, sugar, everything. And when everything was kind of stripped bare, it meant that any little injection of happiness was felt like a hundredfold. And there's loads of research to say that people in wartime were much less stressed just because everything was so extreme. Why would you sweat the small stuff?
What's the best decade, Holly?
In history or for me? Because I would really happily have lived for a bit in the 1350s, another hot take.
What? Why?
Another hot take.
The 1350s?
Do you like buboes or something?
No. So this is immediately post-Black Death. Lots of free land, feudalism crumbling, and again, lots of opportunities for women. Also, booming wool trade. So if you got in early, you'd do very well.
Really?
If you had a couple of sheep of your own, you were absolutely
exactly. I've got a lot of useless hypotheticals that would have served me very well in any situation besides the one I'm currently in.
You've been Bridget de Jones of the 1350s. Now, it's been a steamy week in the news. The dick pics have been flying on Conservative Party WhatsApp groups as hapless MP William Ragg allowed himself to be hustled into sharing lots of private phone numbers with the mysterious Charlie and Abby. That'll be the King and Abby Titmus, obviously. No such problems in France, land of ooh-la-la, however. French spies are immune to honey trap schemes as their wives already know they're having affairs. France's MI6 reveals. That's in the Mail. Russians realise that generating blackmail by entering into illicit relationships with French spies did not work. Go ahead, my wife already knows, is a standard reply, according to an agent in a documentary, The Making of Secret Agents, which examined the French spy agency, the Directorate Général for External Security. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. Holly, the French really understand the art of living, don't they?
Yes. So an anonymous agent said that Soviet Union defectors spoke about the French paradox, which was this phenomenon that if you tell a Frenchman that we're the mistress, we've caught you red-handed, it just didn't work. This reminds me a lot of the French paradox regarding food and like some contrasts we could really learn from. If you have a little and often approach to treats, you're less likely to binge when like a buffet comes along. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the trap that our MPs have really fallen into. Like they're clearly not having a good time the rest of the time, leaving them far more vulnerable to espionage.
It's our self-denying Anglo-Saxon, whereas the French will just plunge in.
Yeah. Just have like a little bit of red wine every day, a little bit of butter and a little bit of extramarital shagging and you'll be immune.
The assumption, however, is that all the spies are male. What about the femme fatale? What about les widows noires? Don't they get blackmailed too? But I suppose, you know, again, different attitudes.
Yeah, different attitudes. And also, I mean, like, I've never heard of a male honey trap. And I think that, like, I feel like we've had Killing Eve. I'd be fascinated to see, like, a male equivalent of that. Like, could a man do it? Could a man be that seductive? James Bond does it, but his shagging isn't to do with, like, the case, really. It's usually kind of irrelevant, often gets in the way.
Yeah, I mean, James Bond is actually a pretty misogynistic figure, isn't he? It's like sexist punishments and conquest, all the rest of it. You know, it's a very, Ian Fleming's way of looking at women was pretty horrible.
You know what? We'll know feminism has worked when we have more male spies, because by default, that will mean we have more female leaders. Mm. And therefore, that opens the door for, you know, the male spy industry.
Oh, that's why Judi Dench was the best M, I think. Marcus, how should the Russians go about blackmailing a French spy? Should they photograph him eating against us or something like that?
Well, I don't think they'll have any luck. I mean, my favourite quote from this, there's obviously the Frenchman says, go ahead, she already knows about it. Right? But my favourite is this sort of add-on to that where they say, go ahead, show her, she'll understand.
Wow.
That's far more arrogant than she already knows and I'm getting away with this. Yeah, it's okay, she'll get it.
But there must be some way to blackmail a French spy. What is
it? Well, there definitely is. You prove they haven't got a mistress and sort of emasculate them that way. I think you force them to make a proper cup of tea.
Spread a rumour that they work weekends.
Yeah. Or over lunch.
That'd be it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Speaking of headlines, they are the Thunderdome of newspapers, a merciless contest of skill where only the strongest, the smartest, and the most puntastic shall survive. Every day we scour the papers for great headlines. What have you got today?
Okay, so The Sun has a kind of adorable story. It's about a bloke who's fed up with negativity over his name. He's called Trevor. I wasn't really aware that there was some sort of anti-Trevor movement. Anyway, he set up a support group for himself and other Trevors. He says they're linked to being geeks and nitwits. Anyway, headline is, "That's Clever Trevor."
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
It rhymes. It's not really a pun, but
They've got a pile of different Trevors there. They've got Trevor McDonald and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go for Trevor forever.
Over on the showbiz pages, we have a story about Professor Green and his fiancée, the actress Karima McAdams, who have quietly ended their 5-year relationship. Headline is, "Let's call the whole thing prof."
I think that's pretty good, that.
Yeah, not
Let's
bad.
Let's call the whole thing prof. Right.
Also in The Sun, we have a story about how fashion has gone football mad. And with the Euros coming up, there's all sorts of like cool versions of like football tops. I'm sorry, as you can tell, I'm not a sports fan. The football clothes,
are
becoming more fashionable. Headline is, "They think it's all haute couture. It is now."
Hooray! Hey! Marcus, what's it, the arch rival, the Star?
Well, the Star, as ever, have got an absolute feast of brilliant headlines. Apparently, there are now so many cockroaches in the UK, they're even out and about during the day. Usually, you'd only find them at night, but they're flaunting their presence in our houses. And so the headline is, "Beware of the cocky roaches."
How are they?
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Now, sticking with the theme of things that are slightly gross, apparently smartphones have 6 times more germs on than a loo seat.
What? Yeah, more germs than a toilet seat?
6 times more germs than a toilet seat. And so the headline is, "Bog and Bone."
Ooh.
A bit of rhyming slang.
Yes.
"Killer virus takes huge toll on sheep and cows. A deadly disease is wiping out our sheep population and spreading to cows." I mean, if that story is as serious as they're suggesting it is, this headline is woefully inappropriate. They've gone with Barmageddon.
Oh, God. That's a bit harsh on
sheep.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a sheep farmer listening to this, can I apologise on behalf of the Star, who, as we know, are proud to love animals?
Sort of thing would never have happened in the 1350s, I'm just going to say.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeed Avasi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, we get to the big issue that is convulsing the nation. What does Gen Z think about Bridget Jones? This is the centre spread in the Mirror today, hooked on the new 4th episode of the Bridget Jones cinematic universe, Bridget Jones Mad About the Boy, which they're making right now. Holly, the Mirror have done the classic get a young person to say how awful the past was. What's happening here?
Yes, so this Gen Zer is asking the question, should this kind of film be made today? Because Bridget Jones is a very problematic person. She drank, she smoked, she fell for, you know, nasty men. Just the kind of thing that no young person would ever do, I'm quite sure, these days. This writer has said, many people my age prefer going to Pilates classes, running marathons, drinking green juices and avoiding hangovers, which, may I say, they will sorely regret in 10 years' time when hangovers will become vastly, vastly more painful than they are now and drinking more attractive.
And they will also say that would make for the most boring fucking movie anybody's ever made.
This is the thing, right? Like, our leading ladies aren't necessarily meant to be aspirational. They're just meant to be fun.
Yeah.
Like Bridget Jones, much more fun to spend time with than like a sort of black coffee drinking kind of Marx fancying Sally Rooney character. Yeah. Like she's jokes. Like, you know, we have Bertie Wooster, like also, you know, Adrian Mole, lots of like ridiculous male characters. Why can't we have a ridiculous woman? I think that's fine. Yeah. It's leapfrogged feminism. We're allowed to be absurd.
There's all kinds of mad stuff in it. Why did she not report her boss for being so unprofessional? Because then there's no story. Then there's no film. Then nothing happens.
Because they were having fun.
Were you a Bridget Jones fan yourself?
I am. So I don't really relate to her. Like I did not enter my 30s desperate to go on mini breaks with my boss. But I just think she gave voice to like all of the things that millions of women, I would say, probably still think, you know, just like, oh God, like weight concerns, but it's completely unacceptable to admit to now. And just like her inner monologue was so funny. She coined like smugged marrieds, singletons, fuckwitted, like, you know, she's just a very, very amusing person to spend time with.
This piece, it did seem to be kind of very much encapsulated the sort of the tyranny of empowerment, the tyranny of achievement. You know, you must be living your best life at all times. You must, everything you do must empower you. And that is, you know, to me, okay, I'm a middle-aged bloke, but I look at Bridget Jones where she's having the freedom to be crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Why be your best self when you can be your actual self?
Yeah, like, empowerment isn't a stick to beat ourselves with. We should be allowed to fuck up a little bit,
yeah,
have a cigarette, get a bit drunk, make some bad decisions. Like, that's living. You can't just kind of have a green juice at 5 a.m. every morning and call it life. Like,
Marcus, that's a 5 a.m. green juice drinker. What did you think of this?
Well, I'm excited to see the new film. I mean, they're just so funny. Renée Zellweger's amazing in them, brilliantly funny. I'm really interested to see Bridget Jones in the age of digital communication as well. I think it'll be fascinating. And, I mean, imagine how big the pants are now.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I assume the pants have got bigger.
So she took up, what are they called? Like, those like cycling classes, early morning cycling classes, yeah, in the last one. So she's quite trim, but who knows?
And that's your lot for today's Paper Cuts. Thank you, Holly Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus Brigstock.
Thank you very much.
Remember, listeners, if you want to help the show in our struggle to fly the flag for intelligent newspaper criticism and get it with no ads and with a special extra bit too, then you need to join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Go to papercutsshow.com. That's Paper Cuts Show, two S's in there. But also, there's a link in the show notes, which will make it easier. Remember, also, all of our supporters get a special shout-out like these.
You're the top, you're the Colosseum, Stuart Elliott.
You're the top, you're the Louvre Museum, Malcolm McLean.
You're the Nile, you're the Tower of Pisa, you're the smile on the Mona Lisa, Naomi Maester. And now we're all going to do a big tap dance in the studio. I've been Andrew Harrison, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when we learned about a horse which escaped from a race course in Australia and ran to the local train station where it waited patiently for the next train behind the yellow line. Aww. Delayed commuters described it as an absolute mare. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Podmasters Group Editor Andrew Harrison with Marcus Brigstock and Holly Thomas. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh and the managing editor is Jacob Jarvis. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.